Welcome to this week's episode of The Fitness Solution. On today's episode, I have the wonderful Marcy Nevin. We had such a good chat. It was a little while ago now. It's taken me a while to get this one up and loaded, but it was such a wonderful chat. And we decided to sit down and try and talk about the ups and downs of fitness and kind of like just basically how you deal with the roller coaster of a fitness, in inverted commas, journey. Marcy shares some interesting thoughts about the word journey on the podcast. It's a really good chat, and Marcy is a wonderful person to connect with, to listen to, and to hear more from. So it was just great. I loved every second of it. And right in the middle of it, I have a lovely rant about men's health, which is quite hilarious too. So I hope you're as excited as I am to listen to this week's episode. Once again, thank you very much for being here. If you could please leave a review on iTunes and on Apple Podcasts for The Fitness Solution, that would help so much. It would help us get it into more people's ears, and hopefully we can help more and more people as we progress through. So have a wonderful hour or so. Actually, this one's a little bit shorter. This one's only about 40 minutes long, this episode. And also, there might be a few audio issues just where our internet connections are a bit unstable. But just stick with it and you'll get through, and you'll thank yourself when you do. Right. Thank you very much. And I hope you enjoy. Let's hand over to myself and Marcy. Welcome to this week's episode of The Fitness Solution. And on the other end of the line, I have the amazing, the wonderful, the lovely Marcy Nevin. How you doing, Marcy?
Well, after that intro, I am doing great. Thank you, Adam. Not only for inviting me on, but for just, you know, buttering me up like that. I've never had quite the intro like that. So,
Well, there you go. I'll get working on the outro as we do the podcast, right? And I'll just try and beat that again. I'll jot down some ideas. Perfect. So for those of you who don't know who Marcy is, more for you, because you should, because of a number of reasons. But one, she's a fantastic coach, fitness coach based out in California. And she is huge on Instagram. And I share quite a lot of her posts onto my wall to help my clients and people who follow me. And it's all part of that. And she's on the other end of the line. But there's no point in me telling you all about her, because she would be much better at doing that herself. So Marcy, tell us who you are, where you're from, and how you got into this crazy life.
Oh gosh. Okay. I will keep it short because it's a long story. So, it always is. I am Marcy Nevin, and I am a fitness coach based out of a little town called Danville, which is in Northern California, about 40 minutes east of San Francisco. So I grew up here, and before the conversation, before we started recording, Adam and I were talking about like my background, and so I'm back living in the town that I was raised after going to college in Oregon for 4 years. And I work at a private personal training studio, and I've been there now for 11 years, which is just so crazy to think how fast time has gone by. I cannot believe it. And I got started in fitness when I was very young. So I have this kind of like running joke that everyone who gets into fitness, they say, oh, well, I was always active growing up. And then I started to like gain some weight, and I didn't really feel so great about myself. So I got into, you know, training and learning about nutrition. And now I want to, and like, I changed myself. I transformed myself. So now I want to help others do the same. And that's really my story in a nutshell. So when I was, I would say end of elementary school, I started gaining some weight and just not feeling very confident in myself. And I noticed all of my friends were tall and they were thin and they could eat whatever they wanted, and I couldn't. So I was very active. I played every single sport imaginable, but I just really liked to eat. And I still really like to eat, but you know, I had no concept of nutrition. And it's so funny because, you know, my mom tried to feed me fairly healthy. And so we would have like, you know, home cooked dinners and this and that, but she wouldn't let me eat like sugary cereal. I couldn't drink Coke. I couldn't chew sugary gum, yet we would get fast food. And, you know, like there were just some, I don't know, things that didn't like really line up. And yeah, I love to eat. So I gained weight. And by the time I was in Middle school, I was very, very self-conscious. So I started exercising when I was probably 13 years old. And I bought, this is like really dating me, I'm 36 now. I bought a VHS set called The Firm. And it was really a strength training like series. And they had these like two little plastic aerobic steps. And then for some reason I had dumbbells. I guess they were my mom's, but enough to do the exercises. So I followed those. I did aerobics, you know, on the TV in my parents' living room, again, starting when I was about 12, and didn't really see any progress because, of course, I didn't know anything about nutrition. And then once I got to high school, still not really making any progress. And I told my mom, like, I'm sick of this. Like, please help me. What can we do? So she was going to Weight Watchers at the time. And she's like, well, why don't you just do it along with me? I will teach you, like, I'll, you know, do the meetings and all that, and I'll teach you what I'm learning. So we did the Weight Watchers together, and I ended up losing the weight. She didn't. So that was kind of my, like, first, I guess, like, foray into learning more about nutrition. And Weight Watchers is kind of like glorified macro counting in a sense, because you're counting points. It's just a really, like, ass backwards way of doing it, because you're not focusing on, or at that time, I know they've made a lot of changes to it, but when I was doing it, it was all based on points, and you could eat whatever you wanted so long as you were staying in that point count. There was no focus on vegetables, there was no focus on protein or anything like that. So, you know, I was filling my points with like Big Macs from McDonald's, which is just absurd, but I ended up losing weight. So that was good. And then as time went on in high school, I got really into the gym. So I joined a gym. I started strength training. I started taking like step classes, and I would do those even before school in the morning. So I remember on like 9/11, when, you know, the US got attacked, I was at the gym when I heard about it at 6 a.m. So like waiting for my step class. Yeah. And then it just really has, you know, gone on from there. When I was a senior, I took a class, and it was a sports medicine class, and we focused like one unit on fitness and nutrition. So there was this book called Body for Life, which I'm sure you have not heard of it, Adam. Have you?
No, I haven't.
No.
I'm just enjoying listening to you, to be honest.
Okay. It's like a pretty old book, but it was really kind of the start of the 6 meals per day, like have a cheat meal on the weekends, or like a cheat day on the weekends. So again, like some nutritional fundamentals, but also just like not the best way to go about like to create the right mindset. And then the exercise component was 6 days a week. So you did 3 days of resistance training and 3 days of high intensity interval training. So I stuck to that, like the meal plan, the workouts, very consistently, and I made really good progress. So that was like kind of how I finally like learned what I should be doing. And then when I went to college is when things got like really serious. And I was reading T Nation and, you know, Precision Nutrition, like John Berardi, Precision Nutrition was really just kind of like coming up in the world. And yeah, it's just been that way ever since. So I will say I took it a little too far in college, and I did develop some pretty severe disordered eating behaviors, exercise addiction, compulsion, and I got way too thin. I severely impacted my health, and like even to this day, though, like I'm way better than I was. Like I've really recovered from that, but I am still working on my health. Like it took such a hit that, yeah, even now I'm like dealing with the ramifications of that. So that's kind of where I guess my message has come from on Instagram, is that like, yes, you can make progress and you can want to change your body, but you have got to go about it in a smart, healthy way. Like do not do what I did. It is not worth it. You will be miserable and you will be playing catch up for a long time to come if you take it from this, like, yeah, sense of urgency, I'm going to restrict as much as I can, I'm going to over-exercise just to get those kind of like immediate results. Like, it is not worth it in the end.
Yeah. So I recently wrote an article
on my website about, I can't remember what subject it was. I think it was about, do you have to eat back the calories you've burnt in the gym? Because in the UK, we had this awful TV show that went out that a doctor was doing and stuff that was, they set up a restaurant and then they set up a gym behind the restaurant. And in the gym, they had about 40 people on all different cardio machines trying to burn off the calories that the diners ate. It was absurd. It was really absurd.
That is absurd.
And for many reasons, but we won't get into those. Maybe we will a bit later. But on that, I started looking into very low calorie diets, basically, like 1,000 calories or less, like 800 calories a day. And on that, some of the research says that it has the same physiological effect of kind of starving yourself full stop.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're essentially, because for most people, 800 calories, 1200 calories is below their basal metabolic rate. Mm. So the number of calories they need just to lie in bed all day and have their body like just work, like to stay alive, essentially.
Yeah, to be functional.
Breathe, like have your heart pump, all of that, not to like run after your kids or exercise or have the brain power to, perform well in your job. Yeah. So it's really, really unfortunate.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry you went through all that. That sounds,
Oh no, it's, you know what? It was definitely challenging while I was going through it. It wasn't challenging because like I thrived off of it.
Right.
And I think overall it was a sense of control. Right. Yeah. So feelings of like low self-worth from childhood and all that. So, you know, my core wound, because I think we all have like something from our past that continues to affect us in present day if we don't really start doing the work on ourselves to overcome that. So my childhood core wound is like, I'm not seen, I'm not heard. Like I kind of live in other people's shadows. And I remember growing up, like I would like boys and they would maybe like me initially and then they would start liking my friend. So I felt like, okay, if I want to get attention, then I'm going to have to do it by changing the way I look. Mm. Because obviously that's why people don't like me, or that's why my high school boyfriend, you know, went to a different college and like, oh, he doesn't care about me. Right. So I remember like he was a year older and he went off to Arizona State and I was devastated and he left. And I was like, when he comes back for whatever break it was, I was like, I am going to look so good. He is going to be like real upset that he broke up with me.
I remember.
And yeah, it became like this kind of, I think, control mechanism.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because he ended up not liking the college that he went to and decided that he was going to transfer. So he transferred to Oregon with me, and which I thought was wonderful. And then after a couple of weeks, I'm like, no, I don't want a boyfriend. Like I want to be able to go and, you know, do my own thing. And I broke up with him. And then I realized like, oh, I've made this mistake, you know? And so I fought like for pretty much the rest of college, like trying to get him back. But again, like, oh, if I can just look better, if I can get leaner, if I can get more muscular, then he's going to want to be with me. And that was not the case. So it was just, yeah, this like constant control in order to really change how somebody else viewed me rather than how I viewed myself, essentially.
Yeah. I remember one of my ex-girlfriends, she split up with me. We was together for 7 months and she split up with me and it was brutal. But there was a period where we were still together, but it just wasn't quite right and stuff. And and she'd started talking about this other guy that she'd met on holiday and stuff. And all totally above board, I think. I don't really know. I don't really care anymore. But and I remember just going out and buying a workout bench, putting it in the garage, and like for about a week. I mean, this sums me up to a T. For about a week, I kind of was able to get up, go into the cold garage in the middle of December and like lift a few weights and think I was helping myself. And then, and then I'd give up after a week and I'd be like, oh, well, and then I got dumped. And then I was like, oh, well, and it just kind of rolled away from me like that. But it's interesting. Yeah. I don't know what it is about me. Like I've never had that thought in me. Like I've never felt like I've had to improve myself for a boyfriend, girlfriend.
That's a wonderful place to be in.
Yeah, but then, now you got me thinking, you got me worried about what wounds do I have that I'm not aware of, because it wasn't that one.
Oh, well, yeah, it doesn't have to be that one. You know, it can be other stuff too. But that's a conversation for another podcast.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'll call my therapist on that one. So, I mean, that all brings us to kind of really what we was going to chat about today, like overcoming the ups and downs of everything. Because it sounds like you've had some pretty big ups and some pretty big downs over the course of your fitness journey. And it's something I see with my clients all the time and stuff. You know, it's like they'll peak and they'll self-implode, and it's just a constant roller coaster. So let's pick it apart. Like, how did you kind of move yourself into a better place, both in terms of your fitness and how that affected your mind and everything else? And like, how do you overcome these ups and downs? How do you ride the roller coaster without feeling sick, you know?
So when I started my fitness journey, which I hate that term, by the way, I just never know what else. It sounds so stupid. I don't know what else to call it.
I get that. I know. I can't think of anything else either. I'm like, yeah, you're not on a journey or anything like that. Okay. Like, it's not like you're going on holiday, but what else do we use?
I have no idea. We've got to come up with something
else. We must. I'll get thinking.
Okay. Oh, that's so funny. So for lack of a better term, my fitness journey, so going back to what I was talking about with that, that video set the firm, like these women were muscular. So they weren't like as big as like figure competitors, but so maybe they're more like a mix between like today's bikini competitor, who is quite muscular. So very lean, very muscular, pretty muscular. And that is what I wanted to look like. I did not want to be like supermodel lean, you know, waif thin, anything. Like, I wanted to be lean and muscular. So I saw these women, I'm like, that is what I want to look like. And then when I got to college, you know, I started reading the fitness magazines like Oxygen, Muscle and Fitness, Hers, and that's where all of the figure competitors were being portrayed, you know, on the covers, and their workouts were in the magazines, their diets were in the magazines. So yeah, that was kind of my ideal look, was lean, muscular, like big shoulders, you know, small waist, wide back. Let's be honest, like I'm just not genetically inclined to look like that, I don't think. I mean, I have made progress over the years, but you know, they're telling you that the way that they got to looking like that was by eating 5 meals of like broccoli and egg whites and oatmeal, and you know, lifting weights 5 to 6 times a week. You know, you're doing chest and triceps and back and biceps and legs, you know, all of that, with typical like bro split, and then doing 2 hours of cardio a day, right? Oh, so I do my fasted 45 minutes of cardio in the morning, and then I go back and like I lift weights and I do more cardio at night. So I didn't know any better. I just followed what I was shown in the magazine, you know? And I think because I did not take the time to build a muscular base, I didn't really have anything to like lose. I shouldn't say that. Like, I had fat to lose, but when I did lose the body fat, I was just kind of like skin and bones, you know? And so that was the first problem. And I just like, I really, really overdid it. But I got in such this bad place with my mindset around food and around exercise that I didn't like know any other way out. It was like, I literally in college lived off of oatmeal, egg beaters, steamed broccoli, sugar-free everything. And I can't believe it's not butter. And like, and maybe some like nuts, you know, and lots of coffee and Diet Coke.
Yeah.
And 2 packs of sugar-free gum a day just to like keep my hunger and cravings at bay. But again, didn't know any better, nor did I know that like, okay, in these fitness magazines, they're like not really telling you the whole truth, which is why like they look like that, because of some things that's going on behind the scenes, you know? And I didn't know that back in the day. So that was probably like my first, I don't even want to call it a mistake, because again, I didn't know any better.
Yeah.
But then once I graduated and I moved home, I ended up meeting this guy at the gym that I went to who was a bodybuilder. And he had a similar approach, but it was like, no, like you need to build some muscle, right? So he put me on kind of a bulking type diet. So I gained a lot of weight like working with him, but I think that it was needed. And then I decided, okay, I'm going to hire like my own online coach. And that was my first foray into counting macros and doing a more like focusing on progressive overload, a more structured training split. I was following a meal plan, but it was much more like flexible dieting oriented, because even though it said, okay, you know, you need to eat these meals, you need to eat these foods, I was able to make substitutions. And that was the first time where I was like, oh, I can eat candy or frozen yogurt or cereal post-workout and still get really lean. Or I can eat carbs and reach my goals. I don't have to do hours of cardio every day to lose body fat. And that was a game changer. So was it the best coaching experience? Not necessarily, but it was very helpful in just shifting my mindset. So I decided to hire my first online coach, and I was spending a lot of time on like fitness forums. And I don't even remember the name of the one right now, but I found this guy and his message really resonated with me. And I saw him doing everything completely opposite to what I had been doing back in college. And his clients were getting amazing results. Like he was kind of one of the first people in the industry, like really, I guess for lack of a better word, bashing all of these like fitness myths that I had believed.
Right.
And I was like, oh, this is really interesting. So I can get results without doing cardio in the morning and at the night. And I don't have to lift 6 days a week, and I can eat the foods that I like and, you know, still make progress. So that was very encouraging. And I hired him, and it wasn't a wonderful like coaching experience. I mean, he was fine, but like I'm someone who doesn't need a whole lot of support and guidance or like accountability. Just like, give me the plan and I will execute. So I was able to do that. But he put me on a 4-day upper lower split, focusing on progressive overload, which I hadn't really done in the past. I mean, Adam, I was so insecure with like the size of my thighs in college that I purposely did not train them for a year because I was afraid that they were going to get more bulky. Right. Mm. So I'm like, I'm not even going to lift weights. I'm just going to like work on my upper body so I can get bigger shoulders. So I started working with him, like learning how to squat and deadlift and do all that. And it was a really great experience. And then the meal plan or like the nutrition component was even better, because even though he had me on a meal plan, it was very flexible in the sense that I was able to make substitutions so long as, you know, the foods were the same amounts, the same calories. So I was eating stuff like oatmeal, sweet potatoes. I mean, I had cheese, I had peanut butter, like all the stuff that I would never have let myself eat prior to that, thinking that I would gain weight, I wouldn't be able to lose body fat, all of that. So post-workout, we were encouraged to eat like lower fat, higher carb foods, like whatever we wanted. So ice cream, cereal, candy, like it was awesome.
All the good
and
stuff.
And I got the least I had ever been. I was like, wow. So like this stuff actually works. So he was kind of the person who first like changed my mindset around what I needed to do to get results, and that I did not have to be quite as obsessive or restrictive. I didn't have to live in the gym, and that was really helpful. And from there, you know, I've continued to work with online coaches, whether it's people writing my training programs or my nutrition programs, just because as a coach myself, like I don't want to have to think about it.
And
I've gone through periods where I like reverse diet and gain some weight, and then, you know, I get lean again, and it's just been going back to that stupid word, journey. I mean, I guess that's what it is, you know, like it really is. It's just, you kind of, there's no real end destination. It's just a constant process of always working to get better. And that's what I want to do. Like I don't think I'll ever feel satisfied. like, I like where I am right now, but there's still changes and improvements that I want to make. And for, to me, like, that's what's fun about it. You know, it's like, okay, let's see what you can do. Like, let's see the changes that you can make.
Yeah. And how, it sounds like to me, like, basically you're saying a good coach got you onto a better path with better education, better execution, and better explanations to everything. And he clearly had your trust. Was that key to just pulling you out of the place you was in?
Absolutely. And I think the trust thing was the biggest component. Like, not only did I, how do I say this? Like, yes, I trusted him, but I don't think that I would have been able to trust him as much had I not gotten the results that I did.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
So yeah, it's like, if I did his workouts and stuck to his nutrition plan and I ended up looking the same, I'd be like, well, this is bullshit. And I'm going to go back to my old way of doing it, you know? Yeah. So yeah, that was huge, just to have that trust and be able to see the changes that I was able to make doing something different.
Perfect. Perfect.
And that's why I think a lot of people go wrong, is they don't have trust and they're so afraid of doing something different in fear of gaining weight or, you know, regressing, that they, even if their current way of doing things isn't working for them, is not getting them the results that they want, they still are too afraid to try something that might.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I see that. I'm sure you see it all the time as well. And how do you move someone away from that? How do you move someone from being in that position to not being in that position? Like, how do you personally go about it within your business, with new people and stuff? Like, how do we move people from just,
you just, like, you really up? Like, you have to start, yeah, you have to start so small.
Yeah.
You know, and I, like, I won't just immediately take someone who is eating 50 grams of carbs a day and exercising 7 days a week to, okay, well, I'm going to completely cut your cardio out and you're only going to do strength training and now you're going to eat 200 grams of carbs, right? Yeah. Like, it kind of has slowly cut back. You slowly, you know, like, they see, okay, nothing bad is happening. Actually, I feel better. I look better. And again, like, that is what is going to allow them to trust you,
yeah,
allow them to trust the process and keep going.
Yeah, start small. That's so important, isn't it? I mean, so many people are like, I need it now. I need to get it now. And I need to change everything. Like, the amount of messages I get that are like, do you do meal plans? Do you do meal plans?
Right.
And I'm like, not really. And they're like, oh, why? I need a meal plan. I need to sort my diet out. And I'll just say to them, well, if you can just eat a bit more protein, drink a bit more water, and stick to the calories that we can talk about, and we can move you through a journey, there's that word again.
Yeah.
Calories. Then, and people run a mile from me because I'm not willing to give them a meal plan. And it's crazy. But it's like, two things. I'm not going to sit there and design a meal plan and put mushrooms in it, and then you're going to come around and tell me you don't eat mushrooms.
Mm-hmm, and, mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know what your tastes are. And it is, isn't it? It's,
yeah.
People have to understand that the smaller steps you take to begin with equals the bigger results later, because it's going to build your longevity to want to continue and to be able to get the big results, which don't happen unless you do it 365 days a year, you know, and do that for 2-3 years.
Exactly. And, you know, going back to the whole meal plan thing, like, why I do not give out meal plans, like, maybe I will help someone build a meal, like, template for themselves, because yeah, I think that very helpful, like, having some structure. Okay, I know that I feel, like, personally, I feel best when I eat 4 meals a day, when I have approximately 30 grams of protein with every meal, when it's a balance of, you know, proteins, carbs, and fats, right? Like, I have meals that I enjoy eating that are go-to for me, that are, like, easy to prepare, and that is what helps me stay on track. So I think that can be helpful, but telling someone, like, this is exactly what you need to be eating will backfire every time, because you are not teaching them how to think for themselves or how to plan for themselves. So it's that old saying, you know, teach a man to fish, give a man a fish, feed him for a day, teach a man to fish, like feed him for his life or whatever. Yeah. That's kind of the same approach. And I think the only reason the meal plan worked for me when I was working with that coach is because I was able to make the substitutions. So had I not, I would have, and my first meal was like, oh God, one of the meals was orange roughy and I don't know, something else. And I'm like,
what is orange roughy?
Oh, it's fish.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like, I'm just like, I'm not, and I put it like, cause he asked me, you know, in the questionnaire, like what foods do you enjoy? What foods don't you enjoy? And I was like, yeah, I guess I'll eat orange roughy every now and then, not thinking that it was going to be a meal plan where I was eating it over and over again.
Yeah.
So you were supposed to stick to the meal plan for, I think, a week or two, just to make sure that like you were actually making progress and then you were able to start substituting. But I was just like, I cannot do this orange roughy thing, you know? So if you're giving someone a meal plan of foods that they don't even enjoy, like there's no way they're going to be able to stick to it. And then if you don't allow them to make substitutions, then like, again, they're not really thinking for themselves and learning, all right, well, this amount of fish has about 25 grams of protein, but I can easily have, it'll work out the same way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's where I think, you know, macro counting approach can come in really helpful too. Not all of my clients count macros, but that even helped to like overcome my fear of food even more, because now it's like I had no meal plans. The training meals were completely off, but I had the macros and I was eating foods that still results.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I will start people if they have that fear of, oh, I can't eat something because it's going to make me gain weight.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is that's a massive fear people have. Mm-hmm. I find not giving people meal plans useful because like, I don't live a day in their shoes. I don't know how many children they have. I don't know what times they have to eat. I don't know whether their kids eat certain vegetables, whether they don't, and whether they can have the capacity to cook four meals. Like, I'm not trying to make this more confusing or more restrictive for you. I'm trying to make it more open and more available and flexible for you so that you can get results and still live your life.
Yes.
And I think just slapping somebody into a box is just not going to help anyone.
Absolutely not. And you nailed it when you said flexible. Like, it has to be flexible and it has to be catered, like you said, towards you, your lifestyle, your preferences, your schedule, all of that. You know, yeah, if I was to tell one of my clients who is a busy professional, you need to eat six meals a day, they would laugh in my face. You're like, no. Are you kidding me? I don't have time for that.
I call it the men's health problem. Have you ever read Men's Health?
Oh God. Yes, absolutely.
Right. Or Women's Health, right? Now, if you was to buy an edition of Men's Health, Women's Health, if you was to implement all of the workout suggestions they have in there, if you was to implement all of the face creams they put in there, if you was to buy all of the clothes they recommend in there, and if you was to, I don't know, get all of the houseware that they recommend, not only would you have no time to work, you'd have no time for your family, but you'd also be bloody broke. You'd have no money at all in your bank account.
Broke.
It's like, it's impossible. I remember sitting there looking through Men's Health and I calculated everything that they recommended that I must have. And I was like, that's a year's
right
for me. What are you talking about? Who has the money for this? And then they're like, yeah, like do the Hugh Jackman workout. I'm like, I'm not Hugh Jackman. I'm not a Hollywood superstar who works 3 weeks a year. Oh, it's infuriating.
Exactly.
So yeah, like it's such is life, isn't it? I suppose magazines are full of stuff like that, really. Like if you just pick up any, like A Huntsman and the Hounds, it'd have loads of unreasonable things in it as well to give you advice, I'm sure. So Marcy, listen, look, time's getting on and I'm technical issues galore, which is irritating as well. And I don't want to take up any more of your wonderful time. So thank you so much for coming on to The Fitness Solution. Like, it means a hell of a lot to me. I've followed you for such a long time, and it's so nice.
Thank you for having me, Adam. It's a pleasure.
It's so nice to connect with you. Tell everyone how they can get hold of you, how they can chat to you more, what the best routes are.
Yeah. Absolutely. So the best way to find me, to interact with me, is on Instagram. My handle is just Marcy Nevin, my name. And then I also have a podcast that I co-host with three of my other friends, Decades of Strength, which you can find on iTunes. And then coming soon, I promise, the Muscle and Mindfulness podcast with Marcy Nevin. So I will be releasing my own podcast soon, which I am very excited about.
That's phenomenal. You are. That's phenomenal. The Muscle and Mindfulness podcast. I like it.
Yep. I like it. I know we didn't even really get into like too much of the mindset component of things, but that is huge. So it's like, I'll always be a little bit of a meathead at heart, but I have, you know, really like gone down the mindset rabbit hole as well. And I think that is just an integral part to anybody's success. So I'm going to be talking more about that on the podcast.
That's phenomenal. In the Fitness Collective.
And you'll have to come online.
I'd love to. I'd absolutely love to.
Yes, absolutely.
I'll make sure I have a better internet connection. I'm in the Fitness Collective.
Well, maybe you'll be, by the time like I actually get my act together and start recording with people, you'll be on in Australia. And
you promised Sunday. You promised last Sunday.
I know. And then things got like so busy with work. And I'm like, I need to prioritize my current clients, my new clients before focusing on podcasts. So hopefully in the next week or two.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. Well, if you have any questions as you're developing that, let me know and I'll happily answer them. Just as a thank you and everything else. What was I going to say? In terms of mindfulness, in the Fitness Collective, which is like my group of clients, my Facebook group and stuff, we're doing a 30-day challenge of meditating every day for 10 minutes a day.
I love it.
We've all downloaded an app. Yeah, it's like we did an 1,800 rep challenge last month, which was 30 squats, 30 push-ups a day. And now it's 10 minutes of meditation a day. I've got to do mine. I'm going to do mine after this, actually. But no, I mean, the mindset is very important. So I know we spoke a lot about diet today and stuff, but if you are listening, please do think about the way, you know, you're looking after yourself and the way you're talking to yourself, the way you're thinking about things. And if you have any troubles with that in terms of you just your self-talk or anything, or you're just wondering what mindfulness even means, and reach out to either of us, I'm sure, and chat to us about it. And we'd love to help you figure that out, because it is something I've had therapists on this podcast and everything. And it's something I very much focus on my Instagram, more so than really doing the exercises. And I think as important. Yeah. I think it's as important. So that's,
if you're not, you're doing people a disservice. Absolutely. And they will self-sabotage and all of that. So the mindset is...
You know, I find it more interesting. I find a lot of my clients actually, they focus a lot more on the mindset, and they do a lot more work on mindset really than probably the fitness. Like the fitness is there. The fitness is so much more available as well. But I'm sure most of my clients come to me because of how I affect their brain more than really how I affect their body. And it is, you're right. You're doing such a disservice if you're not pushing both angles on people, and you're not trying to help them shape their lives and shape the way they view themselves and value relationships and everything else. Because it can unlock so much in fitness, and fitness can unlock so much in mindfulness. It's a great idea, the podcast. I'm already feel like I'm on it.
Oh, yay. Yes. Well, you'll have to come on, and I'm excited to chat more.
Oh, it'd be my absolute pleasure. Marcy, from the bottom of my heart and from the bottom of all of my listeners' hearts, thank you so much for coming on and giving up your glorious time for us. It means so much to me. You're a little pocket rocket, and your energy just exudes through the screen, through the sound and everything. And I'm sure people are going to really value this episode. So thank you so much.
Thank you. It was my pleasure. Thank you. I'll talk to you soon.
I can't wait.
I really hope you enjoyed that episode of The Fitness Solution. As I said, go and check out Moss's Instagram, because it's phenomenal. And she's always willing to reach out and chat to people and help people. And her podcast, when it's up and running, will be fantastic. But the Decades of Strength, she co-hosts that with someone else who was on the podcast, Kim Schlag, and she was on this podcast a little while ago. So there's a nice group of people to connect with. I hope you have the most wonderful week. Don't forget that the Fitness Collective is there for you. You are more than welcome to join it. If you want to find out more about that, then look through the show notes. I've linked it below. But the Fitness Collective is my private members group for clients. And you can basically get yourself a personal trainer for less than £15 a month. Or if you're in the US, as a less than $18 a month. I try and upload my best content in there. I try and inspire my clients as best I can. And we have great communication and great one-to-one chats and everything you'd expect from a personal trainer, except I won't be stood next to you in the gym. But all the workouts I have, I've uploaded two recipe books recently. I've got my own podcast in there. You name it, the entire library is there for you. All you have to do is join the Fitness Collective. And you can then start taking control of your journey too. If you want to find out how, like I said, link in the show notes, or you can head to www.thegymstarter.com and you'll see the links on there to the Fitness Collective. Right, that's it from me. Peace, love, and protein. High fives and positive vibes. Ciao.